Everybody with me? Okay. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. And I mean this with all my heart. I'll stand and I'll cheer you and I'll be in your corner. As long as the Lord lets me do that. And so today I need you to be in my corner. Hello! Hello! You mean I can be in the pastor's corner? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You got to understand, when I get in this for nearly 40 years, every time I have the privilege to stand in this holy place, I fight demons. You don't understand it. I said I fight demons. I push through demons. I push through religious junk and demons and all kinds of oppression and things to try to bring forth the word of God. Some people don't realize that. But that's what happens. Because we're in a war. We're in a battle. How many of us were in a war? So this morning, if you have your Bible, oh, help us, Lord, to have our Bible and have our word with us. Do you have your Bible? Okay, I want you to turn with me to one verse of Scripture. One verse of Scripture. I need your prayers. You mean the pastor needs prayers? Oh, I probably need more prayer than anybody in here. You know, everybody's about prayer when it comes to themselves. But how many knows we need to pray for others? Because it's not about yourself. It's about the Lord. And it's about being His hands and feet. So today, the presence of the Lord here is in a mighty way. He is here in a mighty way. But I feel impressed of the Lord. The Lord has laid this in my heart. And I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I may just read the Scripture. I may just say a few things and that may be it. I may expound a little bit on the Scripture. I'm not sure. But I do know this. I want to be led of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way that can be done. That's the only way it can be done. That was a powerful, relevant word last week, Josh. Okay? But how many knows that God has fresh bread for us? Fresh bread. Everybody shout, fresh bread. We can't eat last week's bread. I believe if you ate last week's bread, if you go to Walmart and buy a loaf, and you keep it a long time, guess what's going to happen? Yes, that means you need fresh bread. But God has a fresh word for us this morning. And they say fresh word. This is a relevant word. This is a word that's speaking in my spirit because God spoke to me. And He said, this is a situation that we're facing in the church today, in the body of Christ. With not just the body of Christ, but with people. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Daniel. Now, I spoke a little bit Wednesday night, just before prayer, before we pray. We come here and pray. By the way, we're on a 21-day fast here in ministry. A 21-day fast. God spoke Wednesday night and said, I want you to press through because there's an enemy who resists, who has come against the work of God. Anything that God is for, the enemy is against. I don't want you to take this personally. Because in yourself, there ain't nothing in yourself that the devil's worried about. I promise you. And by the way, he's already defeated. He's already been overcome. That sealed the deal right there. Not only did the cross, but the empty tomb sealed the deal. So he overcame death, hell, and the grave, the Lord did. And because I overcome, he says, you shall overcome also. Not only did he say that we're more than conquerors through Christ, but we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. So he's already lost the war. But he's out to battle you every day in your life. He's out to resist you, to come against you. And the book of Romans chapter 8 says, knowing this, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Guess what? You and the Lord make the majority. If God is on your side, then who can be against you? How many knows that you're a winner? You know what? Sometimes we don't praise like we're a winner. Sometimes we don't pray like we're a winner. Sometimes we don't witness like we're a winner. But how many knows that's what the word of the Lord says? I didn't say it. Yes, I used to tell my kids all the time in the classroom, they're winners. I told every one of them they're winners. I don't care how bad. I don't care how ornery. I don't care, how, what, this, that, whatever they were. I looked right into them, right into that little mean face, and I said, you're a winner. So, listen, I'm looking into a lot of little mean faces. I'm just kidding. I'm looking into a lot of little faces this morning, and I'm saying by the authority of God's word that you are a winner. You're not a victim. You're a victor. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help me to bring forth this word today. Because I need you, Lord. I need you. I need the presence of the Lord. Chapter 7 of the book of Daniel. Everybody there, say amen. And if you don't have a Bible, just look over your shoulder. Look over the person's shoulder next to you. I'm going to challenge everybody in here to start carrying your Bible with you. If you don't have one, see Pastor R. I'll get you one. Did you hear me? Nobody should go into battle without a sword. Show me your sword. Everybody show your sword. But I know you have the Word of God in your heart. That's right. I know you have the Word of God in your heart. I told Roy he's going to beat the devil with that thing. 7:25. This is a powerful word, and I want to share it with you this morning. I need you with me. Amen. Now, if you don't mind to stand, if you can. If you can't, please don't do it religiously. If you can, that's wonderful. If you can't, that's okay. God's not going to get mad at you, okay? All right, if you can, fine. I need my water. Romo, can you give me my water right there? Right here it is. Thank you. Thank you. Nervous. My mouth's getting dry. How many ever gets dry mouth when you get nervous? You say, Pastor, you've been preaching 40 years and you still get nervous? I sure do, because this is an awesome place that I stand in. And I'm humbled by this. Nothing about something here or this being holy. It's just the place or position that I'm in this morning. That and don't take it, but just hang on to it or put it somewhere. Go. All right, buddy. 7:25. Is everybody with me? All right. The Bible says, he shall speak promptest words against the Most High, and he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. Now, in some translations, it says, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High God. What God spoke to my heart is something that is moving in my spirit this week, and it's just stirred my heart to the fact that I minister to people all the time who are just worn out. And they say, worn out. You're worn out. You're worn out. Life has worn you out. Oh, I know. I know you're trying to make it through. I know you're trying to be brave. I know you're trying to be courageous. I know you're trying to stand in there. I know you come. And if you don't praise, at least come and sit. I know that you're making that violent effort. That violent effort. But the thing is, God says that there are people who are just simply worn out. So he sent you a word this morning to revive you and refresh you. Because we need, if there's ever a time that we need fresh legs, we need a fresh voice, and we need a fresh sound, it's right now. You don't get this far in the race and give up now, friend. We gotta keep pushing. Because it's closing in fast. Wow, Lord, I don't know. Somebody else may have to come and preach this. Wow. I am shaking and I am weakened. by the word of the living God. This is not just any book I'm reading from. This is not Hans Christian Andersen. This is not Aesop's Fables. This is not kiddie literature. This is not some well-known novel. This is the word of the living God. Amen. And God has a word in season for you, Grant. That's what the Lord just told me. He has a word for you today, as well as everybody in this room. I meet people every day. It's worn out. Let me just finish this. We'll sit down and part for just a few minutes. He says, he shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for time and time and half time. You may be seated. Now, a lot of the book of Daniel is prophecy. This is a prophetic utterance. And it's talking about the Antichrist. How many has ever heard of the Antichrist? Whoa, what is that? The Antichrist is a spirit who opposes the Most High. The spirit of Antichrist has always been here. It's always been here since Satan was loosed in this atmosphere. And he has been given dominion in this atmosphere. And he has influence. And he has territorial spirits. He meets the saints of God and God himself with great resistance. Because whatever God is for, he's against. Listen, you have something lethal in your life that he's against. He don't care anything about your natural DNA. Okay? That doesn't scare him. That doesn't scare him. Listen, you being talented, guess what? That don't scare him. You being a great singer, guess what? That don't scare him. You being talented, a talented musician, or being a talented teacher, or being a talented this, or whatever it is, that don't scare him. But there is something about your spiritual makeup that does frighten him. And you know what that is? That's Jesus' DNA who lives in you. You are a threat to his kingdom and his domain. So his mission is to take you out. Now listen. Guess what? The devil has no power to take you out. Some of you didn't know that, did you? I said the devil doesn't have power. He only has the power that he swindles us out of. He only has what we give into. He has no power to control your life. He has no power to tear you down. He has no power to destroy your life. The Bible says in John 10, for the devil came to do three things: to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus, the devil has come to kill us, to kill our testimony, to destroy our influence, and steal our destiny. That's what the devil has come to do. But listen, he's a liar. And he's been whispering in some of your ears. He's been talking to you. And you know what? We've been listening. We've been listening. We've been listening. You've been listening. He's been telling you, you're not worth anything. You'll never measure up. You're not good enough. You can't do this. You can't do that. But I got news for him. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. John 8:44. He's never told the truth. He never will tell the truth. Steal your identity. So today, think about this. We're talking about the spirit of Antichrist. You said, I thought the book of Revelation, the Antichrist didn't get here to the end of Revelation, to the book of Revelation when the seals were. I didn't think the Antichrist was going to be around to then. The spirit of Antichrist has always been here. The spirit of Antichrist was here when Jesus was here. When Jesus walked and he laid hands on the sick, he opened blinded eyes, he led the Antichrist was here. He was resistant to everything that God was about. The Antichrist is against what you're about. Yes, there is an intercalation of ages, and there will be a more prominent activity by, listen, a pronounced individual or individuals who will operate in the spirit of Antichrist. But listen, we're talking about a spirit that was here when Daniel was here. We're talking about a spirit that was here when Jesus was here. And that evil spirit is still against what God is for in your life. He's against it. He's against it. Listen, if he can take you out, if he can try to take you out with one major attack, he'll do that. But the devil is just as eager to little by little by little by little wear you out. You ever felt like in life, about the time you make it ahead and about the time you get a breakthrough and about the time you push through, then here comes another attack? You ever felt like about the time you were doing good in something, then another attack comes? About the time you get victory here, then another attack comes. How many knows that it's like that? Our life is like that. Our life, Job says, a man that's born of woman is a few days here, but we got a lot of trouble going on. Life is hard, but God is. And you didn't even say that like you knew God was good. It's hard for us to know that God is good when you're going through stuff. It's hard to know when God's good, when God is good to everybody else, but why isn't he good to me? I hear that. Why isn't God good to me? Why am I not blessed? Why are my kids not being healed? Why is this not happening to me or that not happening to me? Why is this going on with that person? And it seems like they get all the blessings. And how about me? What's different about me? Because the devil knows this much. And I'm not glorifying the enemy. I just think we should know who we are fighting against. One of the major tactics of warfare is to know your enemy. Know he who comes against you. But I'm reminded in 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you than he that would come against you. If God is for you, who can be against you? Somebody needs to shout amen. So the devil, Kelly, he would just be pleased to take you out with one, try to take you out, put you on the sideline, cripple you, cause you to be a casualty of war in one shot. Or he's just as soon to lay siege on you, surround you. And that's what happened in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When Jehoshaphat was surrounded by all the armies of the Ammonites and these Tides and these Ites and all these people surrounded him. And Jehoshaphat, he was in a bad place to be because life was pressing in on him. How many knows that life presses in on you? How many knows that we live in a pressurized world? And it's like the Lord spoke to me this morning. Our lives sometimes, Billy, it's like a pressure cooker. How many knows what a pressure cooker is? Some of you young teeny boppers in here don't know what a pressure cooker is. But let me tell you, a pressure cooker is a dangerous thing. And one exploded on my mom one time and gave her bad burns all over her body. But I'll tell you this, the devil would like to put you in a pressure cooker, and he would like to cook you slow. He'd like to turn up the heat, and he's trying to. And we call that pressure. Everywhere you look, there's pressure. There's pressure in my work. There's pressure in my family. There's pressure in my marriage. There's pressure in my relationship. There's pressure in life. There's pressure here, pressure there. Let me tell you something. The answer to your pressure is knowing the one who has power to get you through it. Amen. So, this is what he tries to do. He tries to wear you down. He tries to wear you down. The devil, the enemy, will try to wear down the saints. He'll press into you Something will come here. Something will come there. Something from come here. Something come from there. The idea of this pressure, the idea of this wearing you out, tiring you out, so you'll eventually do what the Spirit of the Lord said earlier. So you'll give in and throw in the towel and just simply give up. You know what? Because he knows. I'm not glorifying, but this enemy that we fight, and the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 6 that we should not be ignorant of his devices. We should know how he works and how he comes against you. And every time that things do go wrong, who's the first thing that we look up and say, God, this is your fault. God, you must be mad at me. You must have something against me. There must be something in my life that is not like the other person's life. But seems like you're always picking on me, God. It seems like you're always, things are happening. And Lord, what do I got to do to show that I love you just as much as whoever? The fact is, the enemy attacks us all. And he only attacks those that have purpose. He only attacks you. He only comes against you because you've got purpose. You've got destiny. There's something about you that worries him. Not only do you bear the image of God, not only do you bear the image of God, God's creation, God made you in his own image, and he breathed into you your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul. I know you bear the image of the fatherly. You bear the natural creation of the Father. We were made in his likeness, and his image he created us. But listen, Jesus' DNA, we bear the image. If you're hearing a saint of God, guess what? You have another DNA. You have another handprint on you, and that's the handprint of the divine. God has a purpose and plan for your life. Do you not realize that? He's got a purpose, angel, for your life. He's got a plan. I know you say, well, I heard somebody say back here a few years ago, a lot of motivational sermons and messages about purpose. I know that we've taught and we've done things here, studies on, you know, purpose and all kinds of things. But, you know, I know we say that, but lots of times people just say, pastors say that, leaders just say that, because they want you, you know, to be encouraged to do something. That's not what it's about. Because God has a divine purpose for your life. You were created with divine purpose. Jeremiah 1, even while you were in your mother's womb. Listen, Regan, God knew this day. He knew you'd be sitting right here in these flip-flops and shorts and thinking, well, here's an early spring, sitting there with a t-shirt on and just sitting here in this place and saying, listen, but you're more. You're not an accident. You are not an accident. You are not a biological mistake. You wasn't a mistake of a parent who did not plan your birth. God has a plan. Did you hear that, Tiffany? God has a plan. Well, listen, the enemy knows enough about this. If God has a plan, it's the enemy's job to take and destroy that plan and purpose in your life. So he will try to come against you. He'll try to lay siege on you. And when there was a family here a few years ago, here at this ministry, that was going through a lot of stuff. Most of the time, when the devil comes against us, I'm going to be real here. Is it okay if I be real? When the devil comes against us, when we get all these pressures, we got all these issues coming in. Listen, we got pressures from a job. We got pressures from raising our kids. We get tired. You hear people all the time say, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. How many's ever heard somebody say, I'm just tired? I'm trying to be real. I need you to be real with me. I said, how many people in here just get tired? Come on, get real. How many people get tired? But you know what? You've got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. You'll never push forward. You'll never defeat an enemy who's coming against you until you get to the place that I'm just plumb sick and tired of getting beat down by the devil. I'm tired. I'm worn out. My My job's worn me out. I'm tired of my job. This depression's worn me out. I'm tired of this depression. My finances are wearing me out. I'm always struggling to keep my head above the water. My finances are struggling. It's wearing me out. Paying my bills is wearing me out. Meeting all my financial obligations is wearing me out. My kids are wearing me out. Sometimes I just want to scream and pull my hair. Listen, it's all right to be real as a mom and dad, okay? I know there's some real people in this place. We say all the time we're an R-rated church, but sometimes we don't want to be R-rated when it comes to us. We're worn out. You're tired. But God's got a new anointing. He's got a fresh move. He's got a fresh word He wants to do in your life. I'm tired. I'm worn out. My marriage has worn me out. My health issues have worn me out. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting. We constantly see people every day that's tired of fighting. They're worn out. They're people who personally told me that themselves. I am worn out. But God has got a fresh drink for you today. He's got fresh water for you today. He's got fresh bread for you. He's got a fresh revelation. He's got a fresh anointing. He's got a fresh move. And listen, you're struggling. You're struggling. You're looking down. But what the devil wants to do is to take you out of the fight. He wants you to give up. There's nobody in this room today. I believe the Holy Spirit was accurate a while ago when he said somebody came that way. But there's nobody going to admit to me necessarily that I've given up, Pastor. So the enemy makes it a point to wear you down and wear you out. Get you to quit. You know what? Getting tired is a sign of. Everybody hear me? Are you hearing me? You know what getting tired is a sign of? That you're close. Some of you are, I said in the authority of God, some of you are so close to your breakthrough, so close of your new revelation, so close of new anointing, so close to a new level that God's getting ready to break through on your life, and you can't give up now. Somebody just needs to praise Him. Tell you something. There are some of you in this room right now, you're looking around saying, who's pastor preaching to today? You? Okay, let me back that up again. I said, some of you are looking around here and saying, oh man, who's the pastor preaching to today? You? I don't have the ability to preach. I don't have the ability to take this word sharp into your heart, into your spirit. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. But the Holy Ghost has got your number, and their saints in this room have just been worn out. It's just, we're worn out. We're worn out. It affects every area of our life. It affects our devotion to God, our consecration to God. You know what? Samson was a consecrated warrior. He was a mighty warrior. He was a mighty warrior. In the 16th chapter, and we read about in the 14th chapter of the book of Judges, that God set aside, he consecrated. That simply means he was set aside for the purpose of. God set you aside for the purpose of glorifying the King of glory, to live out your life in glory. Nothing you do necessarily identifies that. It's just the fact that God created and purposed you to be a warrior, to fight. You were born fighting. My mother has a picture. My departed mother has a picture of me with a head, with a thing over my head, like a boxer comes out of the ring, you know, into the ring, one of them hoods over his head. Here I was, that little bald-headed. Can you get it to Cam? I was bald-headed back then. But you know what? And I'm just about that way again. But think about this way. I had that covering on my head. And she always bragged on that picture because she said, son, you were born to fight. And my fist was held up like that. The little hood on my head and a fist like that. Guess what? If you were a child of God, you were born to fight. You were born to fight. You're a fighter. You're not a quitter. You're a fighter, not a quitter. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your children. Fight for your community. Fight for your church. Fight, fight, fight. Swag my son is. And by the way, my son's been doing ministry. He was in Atlanta last week with Todd White and a team doing street ministry. I don't know where he is today, but that's just the way he rolls. So sometimes you gotta give him his space and let him roll the way he feels the Holy Ghost wants him to roll. Is that okay? I'm just being real. So I'm gonna borrow one of his things. If he's listening in, which he may not be, but if he is, so not Rocky Balboa, not Sphinx, Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson. When he got in the ring, he was the destructo. He was the ultimate destructo. He could take you out with one punch. And a lot of people didn't last seconds in the ring because he took them out with one punch. And the devil's okay with that. He don't care to set you up with a sucker punch and throw you a big one. He don't care to do that. But life seems to set us up. Life seems to position us. And if we're not positioned in Christ, it will position us into the place that he's setting us up to knock us out. Because he wants to defeat you. He can't stand you. He hates what Jesus is in you. If you think you've got a love affair with the devil, you've got another thing coming. Some of you sleeping in his lap. Some of you been sleeping in his lap. It's time to get out. It's time to know that God created you to fight. To fight. So, Mike Tyson, what he'd do, strong fighter like him, not necessarily like Mike Tyson, other great warriors in the ring, what they'd do is they would take a fighter the whole 15 rounds. There are some fighters not into taking you out with one punch. That one punch may not be in them. So what they'll do is they'll take you the 15 rounds. Tell me, why would a fighter who has strength in his body, and he has capability, not try to take you out? Because number one, it's going to wear him out. Don't you not know the scripture says the devil knows that his days are shortened? That's why he has stepped up the attack. That's why he stepped up the battle against the saints. And as the age keeps pressing on, you're going to see more of this evasive, more of this invasive antichrist spirit who has come against the saints of God, who wants to wear you out and take you out of the fight because you have purpose. Don't you know that things are changing in this nation, friend? Don't you know that things sometimes change in the church? But Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. I said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Lest we call Rick the rock, but not upon this rock. Peter was a little stone, but Jesus changed his name to rock. And he was referring to one of the pioneers or the founders of the church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil can't stop you. said the devil can't stop you. Did you hear that? The devil can't stop you. Don't get scared when I do that, okay? That's just the way I roll, Crystal. Don't mean I'm going to grab you and run around the room with you. Don't mean I'm going to pick you up and body slam you. If I can be real, can I be real? Sometimes I feel like body slamming. Because I need you to wake up. Wake up. So he's against the praises of God's saints. He's against the worship of God's saints. You ever think why it's harder for you to get here on Sunday morning than any other day? You think it's hard to go to Walmart? The devil's not going to stand up there and resist you. But he will when it comes to worshiping God. Do you understand what I'm saying? But, we got this going on. We got that going on. Yes, we all got stuff going on. And things do happen. I'm not trying to be crazy religious here. I'm just saying, do you know that the enemy doesn't want you to be about anything when it comes to the purpose and plan of God? Why do you get real sleepy when you start praying? Oh, I guess it's just because I've stayed up late. No, it's just because the devil wants you to go to sleep. So why do you think that you get bored when you're reading God's word? Why do you think you yawn, flip through the pages? Because you're not reading with target. You're not reading with assignment. Listen, I'm here at this place right now because I am walking in a divine assignment by God. When I showed up here on this property, I came here with a divine assignment. I didn't know that at the time, but I came here with a divine assignment. Every one of you here today, you're sitting here because God has a divine purpose and assignment for you to be here. And some of you, right now, I'm pushing through stuff. I'm pushing through, distraction, this and that. But I'm saying, I'm trying to be real with you. But I'm saying, some of us has got to get a hold of this. There's a real enemy trying to really take you out today. And he won't stop until you give in and throw in the towel. So listen. 1 Peter 4:12 says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. Think it this way. God saved us, delivered us, grant, and set us right in the middle of a battlefield. Why would he do that, Lakin? He saved us. Miss Selena saved us, delivered us, and set us right in the middle of a battlefield. Do you know that primary school is a battlefield? Yes, you know that, don't you? You know what? You're fighting for young kids who needs to know at that early age that they have a purpose. Roy, you have a purpose. You're here by divine assignment because of a greater vision, a greater thing that he wants to do in your life. And sometimes we can be stuck in the very temporary things of life and define our mission and define our identity by the things that we're stuck in. Your problem. Your past, your discouragements, your failures in the past. We've all failed. We've all messed up. I think we've come to that conclusion, right? We're just a bunch of messed up people sometimes. Well, not me. I'm not messed up. Right there shows you're messed up. You got a critical spirit. Jesus turned to Peter one time, and he loved Peter. But imagine this, saints of God, if the Lord turned to us and say, I rebuke you. Imagine some of you all in here, if this pastor turned and said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Some of you get mad at me, never would come back. There are people who have gotten mad and left this ministry because I gave them truthful counsel. I would not compromise. I would not sell. And there are people who have made it their mission to tear this mission down. You know why? because he wants to destroy the purpose that God has in this work. Guess what? He not only wears saints out, but he wears ministries out. He'll try to wear you out. He'll try to make you quit, give up. Say, ain't about that. Maybe you're not. Lost Creek isn't for everybody. The work here God does, not everybody. God already told me. He said, everybody comes to these doors, I'm not going to stay here. I pray that they all do. And I've had my heart broken too numerous times to tell over people I've invested my life, ministry into. And then, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I mess up a lot. But I'm just saying, if I can be real, you want me to phony plastic or you want me to be real? God has a purpose for this ministry. If you don't see that, man, you need to be wakened up in a big time way. Because we're just simply walking in the fulfillment of a divine commission to be about his mission. And that's to be Christ and to be love, to be love, not judgmental, but to love people. And the devil wants to wear us out in that mission. But today, God's saying, I've got a fresh anointing for you. I've got fresh for you this morning. In our flesh, we start giving up little by little. Like Samson, a consecrated, powerful warrior of God who tore gates off of walls, who fought lions, tore them, ripped them apart, who defeated slews of Philistines. Someone who has the power. He was a Nazarite. How many knew that Samson was a Nazarite? Do you know what a Nazarite is? Anybody know what a Nazarite is? Okay, that means you don't. How many doesn't know what a Nazarite is? Okay, so it might be neither one of them. So I made somebody mad at me this morning already. I said, how many doesn't know what a Nazarite is? That's a cue. If I'm in a classroom, Brandy, guess what? And you're asking your class a question, how many knows that you want your kids to respond, right? So how many doesn't know what a Nazarite is? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come and get you, stand you up here and say, why don't you know what a Nazarite is? I'm not going to do that. A Nazarite was someone who is consecrated for the Lord's purpose. He was a man who was vowed in his consecration to the Lord. Not take strong drink, not to touch dead things, and the list goes on. But Samson was a Nazarite. He was a consecrated warrior. He was created for divine purpose. He was born with divine purpose. And that was to battle the Philistines. And he would battle the Philistines. He would battle them, and they'd battle him. He would battle them back. They'd battle him. That's just like life is, friends. Life battles us, and we make a stride and we push them back and we go against them. Here comes something else coming in from that way. We get through that, and then about that time something else hits us. And you know what? So much of that weight and so much of that lack of strength, we just buckle and we say, God, I'm worn out. I need help. I need help. I need help. When Sennacherib surrounded the Samaria and he came against the Samaritans there, and he was going to besiege him. He laid a siege upon him. And the purpose of that siege was to do this thing. Number one, to rob all the resources. To rob all the resources. They shut the gates. They couldn't go out. These people couldn't go out. They couldn't come in. They were shut up. And the devil would like to shut you up. He'd like to shut up your voice. He would like to shut up your praise. He would like to shut up your worship. He would like to shut up your walk. He would like to shut up your influence. The devil would like to shut you up because you've got something to say. Somebody say, I've got something to say. Jesus told that to a bunch of religious folks one day. He says, I'm going to tell you the truth. But some of you can't handle the truth. They said, well, we'll believe Abraham. We'll believe our father, Abraham. Jesus said, you've been listening to your father, the devil. He's the father of lies, and he created the lies. He was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of all lies. That's what Jesus told him. Because you won't hear my truth. And when I'm ministering this morning, the enemy is standing right here on your shoulders, on your back, behind you, and he's whispering in your ear. This is what he's listening. Don't believe that. Don't listen to that. That's not you. That's not me. That's not you. God said this word is for this body today. No one excluded. So for the people who looked around today earlier and said, I wonder who he's talking about. You. Everybody say me. It's not my father, my mother, or my sister that stands in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. I need prayer. I need a breakthrough. I need deliverance. I need hope. I need strength. I need encouragement. I need an answer. I need delivery. I need it. And if you'll receive it today, you'll receive exactly what the Lord has for you. As we're closing today, you can't, the enemy knows what's lethal inside of you. And most of the time when we are attacked so aggressively by the enemy, the first thing what we do is pull back. We pull back. When people get tired and worn out, one of the first things they do, hear me out, is they quit going to church. Mistake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? If you're worn out, do you quit your job? Well, if you do, you're not going to get a paycheck. How many knows God had a reason for us to come together like this? So that we can encourage each other. So we can draw strength from each other. So we can sharpen each other. And we do that by simply being real with each other. We love each other. We don't judge one another. We love and we hold each other together and we support. We have each other's backs. We love each other and we stand together. We fight together. We win together. We do everything together. Together. Somebody shout together. And I'm going to say this is going to be tough. Don't take it wrong. Don't take it because I'm saying these things that is there something going on? Yeah, the devil's got something always going on. But if you've got a problem with somebody, I would not want to lay down, man, at night with a grudge or a problem with somebody. Life is too short and the mission too important for us to be trifled by a bunch of lies from the devil. You see, you asked me to be real, and I've been trying to be real. But since I've been real, some of you... Some of you... And I love you. You see, I love you. And you know what I'm doing? With the help of the Lord, I'm fighting demons left and right up here. Just to try to tell you there's a God in heaven who really does love you, and he has an interest in your soul and in your spirit. And if you get mad at me for it, then God bless you. Get mad. I'll pray for you. I'll love you anyway. I'll go to dinner with you. We are not twins. There's nobody in this room a quitter. if I have to push you all the way into the kingdom of God, if I have to get a team of mules and pull you all the way in, by God's grace, you're going in. Mealy Mouse Brittany right there. I come out and give her one of them looks, and I'm closing. So one of those looks, and she's, I love you, Brittany. I'm so proud of you. I mean it. Josh, I'm proud of you for that word last week. Something rose up in you. It's about time it's rising up in you. That's right. Some of you in this room don't know what you got. If you knew what you had, you'd be terrorizing the devil every day instead of letting him terrorize and stomp on you all day. Because with Jesus in you, he is no match. He is no match with you. You got a knockout punch in there, man. That's right. How about this hand? We bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I said we bind you in the name of Jesus. Open the door. Open the door. Open that door. He is alive. Quit listening to his lies. Quit listening. Well, you failed God in the past. There's nobody that failed him more than I did in my past. My past was so dark, it was dark. And he's trying to whisper in my ear, you might as well give up, you crazy hillbilly. God can't use you. You're finished. He's a liar. JoJo, he's a liar. And it's time for you to get that big fist that you used to make football players miserable with. You need to take that fist and in Jesus' name, take authority. Take authority over your life. Take authority over your family. Take authority over the kingdom of God and said, I will not quit. I will not give in. I will not give up. Joe just said, oh, no, no. Come here. I need you to help me. Don't act all shy now. Come here. Did you hear me? I said, the devil's a liar, Robbie. Listening to his lies. You're not defeated. You're not the tail. You're the head. You're not a failure. You're victorious. You're a world changer. Hallelujah. You're a Holy Ghost, spirit filled, word spitting, devil stomping believer in Jesus Christ. And no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and everything that rises up against you, he will lay down. Amen. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, he said, I'll raise up a standard. I'll raise up a standard. The blood of Jesus is your standard. He's this church's standard. He's who we wave under. Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, the devil desires to sift you as wheat. Josh, you know, sifting wheat is a process. Life is a process, Miss Selena. Mary, it's a process. CA, it's a process. Every day, little by little, attacks, attacks, attacks. There are some of you tired in your body today. You're here by great effort. Here's one. He said, I'm in a lot of pain, Pastor. I said, listen, I need you, warrior, tomorrow. He said, glory to God, I'm there. Amen. The devil can't stop you. Daddy, the devil can't stop you. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of you. You got something dangerous in you. You got something dangerous about you. You got a power. You got a presence. You got a work to do. And the devil wants to stop you. But guess what? The devil can't stop you. The devil can't hold you. Amen. Because you're an overcomer. You know what the Lord told me today? Everyone in this room, including Romo, needs this word today. Because he's tried to stop you. Depression can't stop you. Financial difficulties can't stop you. Oh, fear can't stop you. Problems can't stop you. The devil knows that, but he wants you to believe that he can. In Jesus' name, I tell you, I declare over you, you stand up. You stand up in your God-breathed authority and destiny and say, no weapon shall stop the child of God. You understand that, Jojo? God has a plan. You know that? God has a plan. Joyce, God has a plan. Sarah Beth, God has a plan. Kara, God has a plan. Oh, it'd be so easy for you to listen to the lies of the devil, wouldn't it, my sister? It would be so easy. Can I share just a tidbit? Her husband, her soulmate, is incarcerated. It'd be so easy. Here she is. Come probably 35 minutes today to travel to church because God gave her a hope. She dressed all of her kids up and brought them to church for the first time. Her husband's incarcerated in a local facility. Some of us, if we're in a bad mood, we don't go to church. Some of us, if it's not working out, we just don't go to church. Some of us got too many problems, we just quit praising. Some of us, if things are going wrong, we just quit praying. Listen, I've been there. I've done that. I've laid on my floor. I've been tempted to take this spirit of defeat and say I can't do it. Guess what? Devil, if you ever told the truth, you'll tell the truth there. Because I can't do it, but I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. That gives me the strength. You can do it, Bree, because the spirit of the champion lives in you. Brian, you can do it because the spirit of the champion lives in you. I gotta quit. Lord, help me. Listen, God said this word was for everyone in this room. But you know, I don't know what you're going to do with it. I'll be honest with you. I can't make you take it. I can't make you receive it. You got to open your heart. You got to open your heart. The devil has desired to sift you, Peter. But I'll pray for you, Peter, that you be strengthened. Peter hung upside down on a cross, that he felt unworthy to die the same death that Jesus did. He said, don't crucify me this way. turned my body upside down. He was martyred for the Christ, for the cause. God, help me to be real. Lord, I just want my life to be real. That's all. We got to tear off this fake, phony facade. We got to lay our heart bare before the Lord. We've got to say, God, I need new strength today. Psalm 92 and 10 says, the Lord said to David, I'm going to anoint you. He was anointed three times physically. David prayed to the Lord that God give him strength as the strength of an ox. There are some of you here today, I declare over you, God's going to give you a new strength. He's going to give you the strength of an ox. And you're going to keep working. You're going to keep walking. You're going to keep preaching. You're going to keep prophesying. You're going to keep praising. You're going to keep worshiping. You're going to keep on doing that until the King splits the eastern sky and He calls us home. Right now, let's bow our heads. Thank you all. I love you. There are people in this room right now who knows that this word was for them. I know that you received it. There are some people in here in this room need this word because life has worn you out. Struggles have worn you out. You're tired. You're tired. God says, I've got new strength for you. I'm going to anoint you with fresh oil. I believe in for a fresh anointing on your life today. A fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. A fresh release of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Right now, in the name of the Lord, I declare it over your life. Today, in Jesus' name, if you're here. If you're here today and God spoke to your heart and said, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm worn out. Slip your hand up with mine. Be real. Thank you for being real. Oh, how many people in here need to be real, but you're not being real right now? I'm tired, Pastor. Slip your hand up with mine. I'm tired. I'm weary. Sometimes I feel like I'm losing my legs. I'm losing my spiritual legs. I've lost my strength. Be real with me. God said this message was for everybody in this room today. Everybody in this room, this word was for. Last time I'm going to ask, if you're here today, you need fresh oil. You need a fresh anointing on your life. You need revived. You need strength. You need renewed strength. Lift your hand up with mine. Quit playing around. Quit acting like you got it all together. Let's be real right now. God's trying to help somebody. He's trying to minister to somebody. And you're resisting and you're holding a wall up. You're holding a wall. Well, you know, I didn't like this. I didn't like that. I didn't want this. Listen, quit all that junk. God said He's got a word for you. Receive that word today in the name of the Lord. How many right now receives that word today in the name of the Lord? Come on, lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. You get tired of that hand, raise the other hand. Just be real with Him right now. Be real with Him right now. Be real in the name of the Lord because God has got a fresh oil He's going to pour over you. 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 Fresh anointing over your life. Fresh new strength over your life. And I'm just going to simply say, come. That's all I'm going to say. Jesus said, come. All ye that are weary, tired, and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come, and I'll give you strength. Come, and I'll give you rest. Come, I'll give you hope. Come, I'll give you peace. Come, 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 come. He says, come. The Spirit says, come, come. God said this word's for everybody. 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 God says it's for everybody. devil's trying to wear you out, wear you down, so you can throw in the towel right now before we leave. Come on. God says his word for everybody. He sent a season, a word in season, to them that are tired, to those that are weary. In the name of the Lord, I prophesy over you. I declare over your life that in Jesus' name, you'll be revived. You'll be strengthened. Listen, if you've got your life all together, you should be up here praying with people. You should be up here praying with people. The devil trying to choke out your ministry. Come out. I need people helping right now. Lord Jesus, help me. Help me right now. Lord, I pray that you put a firebrand under people's in their spirit. Put an aggravation in their spirit. Prompt them, Holy Ghost. Prompt. Prompt them, Spirit. Prompt them, Holy Spirit. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil in this family. Fresh oil in this family. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil.